Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely blessed day today. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, shaking together, pressed together. I mean, the wind here today is minimal. The skies are blue. We've got a little bit of chemtrails. Yesterday we might as well, you know, put a teacup out and put some doggone water in it and put a tea bag in there and stoked chemtrails. I mean, it was so bad. And today is pretty nice. And so I'm really happy when I can actually breathe the air. I was talking to Gene this morning, and he's one of our listeners, and he said the same thing about the magnesium brain food. He goes, man, when I use that stuff, it clears up my head. And it does that with me too. I was getting really bad brain fog. You got to breathe the air with all that aluminum barium in it. And I use about four scoops, little tiny little scoops of this magnesium. Two in the morning, I put it in my shake, and two at night before I go to bed. And when I do that, my head is just crystal clear all the time, and I don't have this foggy stuff going on. So I love that stuff. If I didn't, you know, take it for any other reason, it would be get rid of the brain fog. But it also helps prevent calcium from accumulating in the body, helps prevent calcium spurs, and also calcium buildup in the arteries. So that's why a lot of people, and the reason I'm covering this, a lot of people ask me, you know, how have you maintained mental acuity at the age of 63? I mean, you don't, you know, drink 18 cups of coffee anymore. And quite frankly, if I drink 18 cups of coffee every day, I get my cortisol so high that I'd probably, you know, be miserable from the stress hormone. But I would never do that anyhow. Even if I drink a cup of coffee 2 or 3 days in a row, it does the same thing to me. I start getting cloudy again from the cortisol. I don't like that. The purple sticks don't do that to me. They keep me really tight and mentally acute. Every once in a while, I have a cup of coffee. You know, if I don't get any sleep or whatever last night or the night before, whatever, I may have something today or whatever. Yesterday, it was so funny, Austin. I didn't even tell you this. Your mom had a cup of coffee, and she wanted me to go shopping with her. And finally, I told her, I said, "You've got to calm down." I said, "You are so hyper. I don't ever drink coffee. I'm so hyper." And I said, "Well, it's what it does to you when you don't drink it, because it really stimulates the adrenal glands. And when you stimulate those adrenal glands, you get that old adrenaline pumping through your body and you get real geeked up. The problem is, after 2 or 3 days of that, the cortisol sets in. At my age of 63, if I have a cup of coffee, it literally takes 3 to 4 days for my cortisol to get leveled out again and become normal again. That's how much coffee affects you over the age of 30. So you have to really be careful with stuff like that. And don't drink coffee every day. I know a lot of you guys, well, I like my cup of coffee every day. Okay, I got it. I'd rather do a purple stick every day, feel good and sleep good at night. Because when I do drink coffee, it really messes up my sleep patterns at night. I want to get up in the middle of the night and walk around and go read a book. And I'm like, gosh, this is ridiculous. And that's cortisol. Here's why that happens. Your body elevates cortisol when you wake up in the morning. Why does it do that? Because you start getting hungry. You start getting hungry, your body elevates cortisol for you to get out of bed and go find yourself something to eat so you don't starve to death. And so when your body's cortisol out all the time, it's an agitation hormone. And what it does, it ends up getting you up and waking you up in the middle of the night. And so I want to keep my cortisol as low as I can so I don't basically have a problem with my sleep patterns. Because when you don't have enough sleep every night, and we talked about this yesterday, you don't go into REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement sleep. And when you don't go into REM sleep, your body has a situation to start to deteriorate very, very quickly. Everybody needs to really get a handle on that. It's very important. By the way, here's an article out of American Greatness, and it says, it's by Pedro Gonzalez. Now, whether that's his real name or not, I don't know, because it's about as Hispanic as it gets. And it says, Trump is surrendering on immigration. And, you know, it's interesting in this article. He goes on about what's going on, about how we're not doing anything at the border and everything else. And then he says this. He goes, DOD personnel will assist in driving high-capacity CBP vehicles, like a bus, to transport migrants, providing administrative support, including providing heating, meal distribution, monitoring the welfare of the individuals in CBP custody, and its attorney support for ICE. In other words, our military personnel, Department of Defense personnel, can't detain them at the border and send them back to where they're coming. They're going to put them on a bus, give them a meal, give them heating, give them welfare, make sure they're healthy, and give them attorneys for ICE. The DOD personnel will not perform any law enforcement functions in any situation that requires DOD personnel to be in a proximity to migrants. The DHS law enforcement personnel will be present to conduct all custodial and law enforcement functions and provide force protection of military personnel. They're going to protect them while they bring in. To recap, troops are not allowed to detain illegals, but they have to instead transport them in bulk to processing stations
open in the heart of American communities without the input of residents in those communities within the United States, where they will receive care and comfort before being released into the country by the tens of thousands, I'm going to correct that, by the millions, all against Trump's word that tens of thousands of illegals are being apprehended and captured at the border and not allowed into our country. The man's a, he's a liar. I'm just going to say it. I can't say it more clearly than that. Donald Trump is a liar. Or he's the most ignorant president we've ever had if he doesn't know this is happening. If he really thinks they're not being taken into the country, he's like smoking crack or something. I mean, that's how bad it is. And all of this is paid for, my friends, by you, the taxpayer, and by me, the taxpayer. What is President Trump doing? What is Stephen Miller doing? How do all these paid trips to the border to the United States for illegals figure into making America great again? Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe is over. And his conclusion means an end to what many assumed was Trump's chief distraction from his single most powerful campaign promise, build the wall. Not merely a physical wall, but a wall understood by millions, meaning that Trump would deliver American from foreigners in the swamp that beckons them. So far, not only has Trump failed to keep that promise, but now the federal government is doing more to help than to hinder illegal immigration, including feeding, housing, clothing, giving them attorneys, and giving them over to ICE to have them relocate into your communities. Your guess is as good as mine as to why. I mean, ask yourself, guys, what the heck? Oh, that's right. Here we go again. I got to clarify my own question here. Trump's not in charge. What do you mean he's not in charge? He's president. No. He's a figurehead. No. He's been bought, sold, paid for, whatever you want to call it, owned by the international bankers, who consider themselves, by the way, to be, how would you say this? You have to use a term by Nietzsche, an Übermensch, a Superman, a person of whose DNA is different than ours, a person who has the ability to see things with more clarity and have more focus and thought than we do. A person who is above us in every aspect of their life. A person who is superior to us, and we are mere animals before them. You think, oh gosh, that sounds really awful. The people call them the elites. They call them the globalists. They have all these names for them. You know, they're the leadership from the top Masonic lodges. They're the leaderships from the Council on Foreign Relations. They're the congressmen and congresswomen and senators of the United States of America that have been sought, bought, sold, and paid for into this scheme of things. They're the group of people who don't believe that the laws of the United States of America or any law in any country apply to them, only to the people who are the peon masses who basically need to be licking their boots. That's who these people are. They're the people who say, eat your GMO food, take your stinking shots, take your fluoride and shut up. That's who's running the country. These are the globalists, the international banking community, the saboteur cabalists, the Luciferians, the wizards. We're run by a satanic society, a group of witches and warlocks. Witches and warlocks. Yeah, our battle's not flesh and blood. It's against these principalities and all these things in these other dimensions. The Bible tells us that. We kind of ignore it and pretend like the Bible didn't say that. Oh, no, you can't say that. That's weird. It's too weird. Gotta take the book of Enoch out. No good. Can't talk about any of that stuff. Come on, gosh. Wait a minute. The Ethiopian Bible still contains the book of Enoch. But Roman Catholic Church took the book of Enoch out. Nobody wants to talk about the supernatural. They buffoon it on TV. They buffoon it on Hollywood movies. They pretend like it's not real. I remember I'm on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. And I say, it's right before Easter, a few years ago, last time I did the show, and we were talking about supernatural stuff. Remember, they've had witches come on before me before. It's ridiculous. And all of a sudden, I said, well, let's talk about the blood of Christ. Let's talk about frequency. Let's talk about the energy field that encompasses the planet. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about epigenetics, how your DNA can be changed by your diet, by the words that you speak, by prayer, by scalar waves. Let's talk about spontaneous remission. We call that miracles. Let's talk about the blood of Jesus. It's Easter. Let's talk about it. No, you can't talk about this. Producer comes on the phone and says, George doesn't want you bringing that up again to me or on the show. Can't talk about the blood of Christ. Can't talk about the power of the blood.
There's power, power, everlasting power in the blood of Jesus. Can't talk about it. We can talk about witches and warlocks and spells and curses and every other sick, twisted, perverted nonsense you want to talk about on this show. This is what I read into the conversation. Not exactly how it went. I'm just giving you my version of it. But you can't talk about the blood of the Lamb, about the power of your testimony, about what happens when you pray and you create scalar energy and you change the very fabric of space-time and you control things. These wizards, they understand this. This is what they do. But they do it to the other entities, not to God Almighty. And when through the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the energy and the Spirit of God Almighty, it changes you. On the inside, on the outside, every which way, it fills you and changes you. Why? Because you become the very resonance energy of God Almighty Himself. And when God looks at you, He no longer sees you. He sees Jesus. Our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. He stands before God Almighty on our behalf. Holy Spirit infuses us. The world was so wicked because of these wizards and warlocks and the people who took down 9/11 as their ancestry, that God had enough. And He flushed the planet with Noah and said, every thought, every deed, everything they do is evil. And there was no good found in them except for Noah and his family. And God turned off their transmitters, these giant pyramids, shut down the magnetic ley lines, pulled the continental plates apart, turned off the power supply to their energy field to control the energy around the planet, to cover the very hearts and the minds of these people to make them evil all of the time, turned the off switch on, hit the reboot switch on, did a hard drive reboot, and basically did a hard drive replacement with Noah's DNA. But these guys, they had enough of that. They just jumped on their whatever they have, spaceships, wormholes, decided just to leave the planet until things calmed back down, and they came right back. The board says they were here before and after the flood. You fill in the blanks. And then it got the same way again. You got Rome. You got the sacrifices. You got the ancient Canaanite religions. Baal, Asherah, Moloch, sacrificing children, huge orgies everywhere, all a satanic sacrifice to harness satanic energy, to feed these interdimensional demons. And God said, they did it again. Gosh, what the heck, man? They did it again. They did the very things I told them not to do. I warned them what would happen. They did it again. I punished them and it didn't work. I did everything I knew to do and they won't listen. I know what I'll do. I'll set it up this way. I'm going to give them my son as a kinsman redeemer to bring them back to me. And I'll let my son be sacrificed and his blood will forever cleanse them because of the frequency emitted by his blood and by the energy field that's released from him. The energy field that was so powerful that when Jesus said it was finished, the earth was almost ripped in half. And had God not stopped it, the entire planet would have turned into another asteroid field. I believe that with all my heart. Because it's through Christ that all things hold together. Listen to me, friends. We have to understand who we are and what God did for us. It was so bad here with the Romans and the crucifixions and the murders and on and on and on and the sacrifice, all these entities and gods, that God gave His only Son for us to bring us back to Him, to make us holy once again, to become the righteousness of God through Christ as our sacrifice once and for all, an eternal sacrifice. No longer do we have to shed the blood of bulls and goats and pigeons or whatever. We don't have to do any of that anymore. We have Jesus in the order of Melchizedek to be an eternal sacrifice, the eternal priest for us in heaven as part of the Godhead. What kind of great deal did God give us?
And it blows my mind that Christians today go to churches and they openly and say, oh, our pastor's gay. Isn't that cool? Our lead singers are gay. Isn't that cool? Oh, look, we have transgenders on the platform now. Aren't they neat? All a perversion to God. But we're told to accept it. Regardless of what Jesus did for us, regardless of what we know to do or not to do, we're told to accept it because it's politically correct. Listen to me, my friends. We've got to stand against that. This transgender thing is right from the pit of hell. And here's what starts it. I have a testimony that I put on the website. I'm posting it. It'll be up there today or tomorrow. Tell Harrison to get up right away. About a man, when he was 4 years old, he's doing this testimony. He's in his 70s. And he goes, when I was 4 or 5 years old, just for fun, my parents or my grandmother or somebody put a blue chiffon dress on me just to see how cute I'd be. And he goes, and I walked out in this room with this blue chiffon dress, this little boy, and grandma said, oh, he's so cute, he's so adorable, and she set me up to want to receive praise from her. By the time he said he was 9, he was sexually abused by his Uncle Joe. And he went and told his parents, look, Uncle Joe is doing things to me that are bad. And his parents say, oh, Uncle Joe would never do that. Uncle Joe would never do that. Uncle Joe is a good man. You're a liar. And he says, no, I'm not lying. So now he's sexually confused. He's been sodomized. He's 9 years old. Now he decides he wants to be a girl for real. As soon as he can, he has sexual assignment research surgery done. Has his private parts cut off. And he said, I've since come out of that lifestyle and I got counseling to show me that I'm a man and I regret having made those decisions, but it's too late for me. And what people need to understand, he said, is this. When little girls are sexually molested by older men or cousins or uncles or whatever, they get to the point where they want it to stop. And they're willing, if they become a transgender, just so the guys will leave them alone. So they don't touch them anymore. So they'll become repulsive to those men. And little boys are the same way. They get sodomized so many times by guys and they're messed with. They want to have their private parts cut off. He goes, it's a psychiatric condition. It's being done to these children. You're telling these children that they're gay. You're telling these children that they're transgenders. You're telling these little boys they're little girls are little boys. And it's not true. You're lying to them. You're lying to them. And because they're little, they believe you. I'll go a step further. Because they're in a theta brainwave state, and they're in a dream state, they can't differentiate the truth from the lie. So when you tell them the lie, what do? They believe you. They embrace it. And they become what you say they are. Because they want to be affirmed. Friends, we can't accept this stuff. These people have been messed with in the head. We can't accept it. If they got that mess, they need it. And now many states have passed laws against psychiatric counseling to try to help these people to realize that they're not a girl, they're not a boy, they're what they were born with being. It's a mess. Every thought of every man, evil. Remember what Sabbatai Zevi said. He said, we must make the earth as evil as we possibly can to bring back their Messiah, which will be our Antichrist. And to do so, they must rebuild a third temple. And to do so, that thing has to be enshrined in the third temple. They're planning on using the spear of destiny, the spear that was supposedly thrust into Jesus' side, to anoint this entity, this being, to become the ruler of this world, Satan's emissary on earth. Somebody said to me yesterday, we got an email in, Austin sent it to me, and it said, you know, a lot of people are talking about stuff as far as World War III is imminent. This is going on, you know, troops massing at the border, and all these things are happening about us. But you and Austin never talk about that. I go, yeah, I said, I don't agree with that philosophy. And he goes, well, what about these people? And I said, well, it's their opinion. It's okay, everybody has their own opinion. And I said, but let me tell you what happens here. Once the third temple gets rebuilt, all bets are off. And Christians are lining up, giving money, donations, having wizards who practice gematria come into their churches, do that Vulcan hand sign over them, which is a curse, praying for them, and who knows what language, and who knows what they're saying, holding up this hand sign over them to support their own demise, to bring in the book of Revelation and tribulation. You think, well, why would they do that? Because they've been deceived by the same people who took down 9/11, who were the ancestors of the same people who killed Jesus, who were the ancestors of the same people who wanted to kill Noah. All of the same people. And guys, the wizards and the dark forces and these entities, they rule this planet. And as soon as you understand that and get that through your wonderful heads, my listeners, and the people that are just turning in are saying, who is this Ted Brewer guy? Why is he talking about this stuff? You got to understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against these other things in these other dimensions. We've talked about the people who take Ashua, and they go into these trance-like states, and they see these other entities. Friends, these things are real. And the problem is they don't want to be where they are, but they want you there. Not only do they hate you, they want to be you. I mean, they're jealous of you. They're like the ultimate illegal alien trying to get over here. And now they're trying to open up the portals of CERN to bring these things in. Guys, think about who you are in Christ Jesus. Think about who you are as a Christian. Think about the power. We're not born of a spirit of timidity, but a power and of love and a sound mind, it says in Timothy. Think about the power and the energy field that God gave you. It's kind of like this. You got a little bitty magnet, like an inch wide. Yeah, right? And you can pick a paperclip up with it. Right? You put that magnet in the energy field of the huge magnet around it. The little magnet becomes the same as the big magnet. It changes itself. It actually lines up. Its poles line up to actually match the other magnet. Why would it do that? Because the other energy field is so much more powerful. Guys, that's an analogy of what the Holy Spirit does. He's so powerful and he's so omnipresent, and he comes into you and just infuses you with the energy of God Almighty. And Jesus says that, you know, all these things you can do through the Holy Spirit. And guys, he means that. Okay? Because when the Comforter comes, I mean, Peter was praying for people, and the lame were walking. And I mean, all the stuff that was doing, that wasn't Jesus, that was Peter doing all that. And I believe with all my heart, if we're lined up right with God, we have the same ability to do that. We just don't know who we are in Christ. That's why we have spontaneous miracles. I've heard people talk about faith healers. And I mean, I'm not talking about the phony balonies. I'm talking about the real guys who really can pray for people and get them set free from demons and sickness and disease because they have the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. None of us do this in our own power. None of us do. We do it through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Guys, I'm so blessed to be here with you. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to be on Global Star and all the other things that we do around the country and all the different TV shows and radio shows we do and be able to call you my friends. It's my privilege again to pray for you today. And I thank you for giving me permission to pray for you. Because if I couldn't do that, I would feel as though I was letting you down. Because guys, I want you to know that I love you. It's the agape love, the love we have one for another as brothers. They said, the Bible says, the world would know you because you love one another. Guys, it doesn't matter if you agree with everything I say. It doesn't matter if I agree with everything you say. If we all agree on Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as our source, we need to love one another and treat each other accordingly. Austin, what do you think and what's your next story?
Yeah, absolutely. Great intro, bud. Also, too, in other news, I saw this earlier because I've been kind of watching it this week. Oregon now's House of Representatives has approved a bill to make the state's vaccine laws among the strictest in the nation. This is now going to the Oregon Senate. What's interesting about this is Oregon had a measles outbreak, and I put that in parentheses here, of 14 cases, right? 14 people got the measles in the last, like, 5 months. So because of this, Big Pharma started pumping massive amounts of lobbying cash into the lawmakers in the House in Oregon to try to make mandatory vaccinations of children. And so the House has now passed it, HB 3063. You can look it up. Now, good thing is medical freedom to the Oregon Nurse Associations. The cease and desist letter has now been issued by Luke D. Miller, part of the legal counsel for OFMF, because the Oregon Nurses Association essentially is trying to do everything they can. They're one of the largest lobbying groups in Oregon, pushing for the passage, and now they have basically had a cease and desist letter sent to them because of their fraudulent emails. On April 30th, they sent misleading emails to members of the House stating this bill does not take away a parent's rights to make a decision about their child's health care. It only requires that children be vaccinated against the measles in order to attend school, which, as we have now found since the bill has been passed, is a complete and total lie. The ONA, the Oregon Nurse Association, is one of the largest campaign donors to legislators who have sponsored the bill. Every single co-sponsor but one has received a total of $255,000 each in campaign donations from the ONA. The Oregon Nurses Association is an organization with religious integrity as its core value, but as we can clearly see, that is not what they care about. It is simply pushing a Big Pharma's goal. So I pulled up the HB 3063 bill because I haven't followed it that closely. I've heard about it, but obviously, I mean, it's in Oregon. I'm in Florida. I try to keep up with a lot of stuff nationwide, but I can't do everything at one time. So I pulled it up to kind of see how totalitarian this was, because I saw a lot of blowback last night when this thing got passed. And essentially, the first thing it does is it removes all personal belief exemptions for vaccines currently on the recommended schedule. Religious or personal belief exemptions, gone. Religious exemption doesn't exist anymore. Personal belief exemption doesn't exist anymore. If this bill gets signed completely into law, the bill also, get this, will ban access to any child ages 6 weeks through 12 grade from attending a child care facility, preschool, public school, private school, or charter school, even if the child is missing just one of their 30 doses of mandatory vaccines. Also, too, under HB 3063, children will also be barred from all after-school sports, extracurricular activities, and per the bill's language, would not be allowed to be in the same space as, and I quote, other individuals, which so far this remains very unclear because it was written so vaguely. It seems to be that they're following this bill, the same thing that happened in upstate New York, if you guys remember 4 weeks ago, where they passed that executive law that essentially anybody that was unvaccinated could not be around any public areas. This seems to be the same, where they're now parenthesizing other individuals. So if this law gets passed, this pretty much will be the most totalitarian vaccine bill in the entire country as far as for a state. So this is something that's very troubling because, as Dad just referenced here, we're seeing all these things going on right now. And this is why again, we don't talk about the whole fear and porn fear about this World War III thing. Listen, here's the thing. If everybody starts going into a full-blown nuclear invasion, or we have a full-blown ground invasion in the United States, I already know how I'm going to handle it. I'm already well trained for that, and along with numerous other people I know down here. If it goes that route, then it goes that route. But sitting around every day going, oh my gosh, tomorrow World War III may start. Oh, no, it's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be Friday. Friday, World War III is going to start. Oh, no, it's not Friday. No, it's Monday. Monday, World War III is going to start. And sitting around in that fear frequency all day long, terrified that World War III is going to start, dude, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. I already know it's going to happen. That we already know how it's going to go if it goes that route. Like Dad said, I'm not even worried about that unless they start rebuilding the temple. Then it's probably time to gear up, make sure the mags are loaded. But I mean, until then, we got so many different things we need to be focusing on, and that is exactly what these globalist bankers are constantly trying to do, is they constantly want your attention diverted in the wrong direction. They want you focusing on, oh, why we need to look at the new presidential candidates. I mean, that's why I haven't even talked about any of that crap, because honestly, I don't even look at it. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all fodder. It's all BS, so to speak. All they want to do is keep you focused on what the mainstream media wants you to focus on. They want you to believe everything's great, the economy's doing good, Trump's in control, there is no border, there's no border problem. Remember, we've heard this now for the last 6 months from CNN, every news anchor. They said, there is no crisis on the border. Trump manufactured a crisis. It doesn't exist. Well, they've said it now every single day on mainstream media for the last 6 months. The majority of people now, oh, no, Trump's got it handled. There's no border crisis. There's not going on right now. We're not releasing 2,700 illegals into El Paso, Texas in one stint over a five-day period that have crossed into the border illegally, and we're giving them, you know, their basically catch-and-release program that's still fully implemented. We didn't just send another 300 U.S. military troops at the border to be personal chauffeurs to watch the situation and make sure all the illegals get transported safely into the United States. That's not happening. That's not going on. That's fake news. Fake news. That's what they say. That's what they tell everybody. It's fake news. I mean, just like they banned Paul Watson on Twitter now. I mean, they're banning everybody now on social media platforms. They're doing all this stuff. And, of course, you don't see anything being done about it. Nothing's being done about it. Nothing's being addressed about it. Facebook's business as usual. Twitter, Instagram, all these places, they're all completely and totally business as usual. Why Facebook cracks down on anything they designate as hate, anything they designate to be fake news, anything that essentially doesn't go along with their mere narrative. Now, here's a simple fact about this. They need to step in. Trump could have stepped in months ago. And here's the thing. Facebook and all these companies, they are either private companies as platforms, they're platforms as private companies, or they are publishers. There's really only two options here, because I've looked this up. If they're publishers, that means that they can't curate content. They have to publish everything that's sent out. They simply are just publishing what people post. Facebook would be a public publishing platform, which is what they like to claim to be all the time. But if they're not that, and they're a private company, then they're responsible for all of their content, meaning they can be sued every day for libel and copyright violations for anything that is published on their platform. So here's the predicament that nobody wants to address. Facebook will not pick a side. They want to say they're an open platform publisher that everybody is free to speak on. But then they turn around and block and censor any content they don't agree with. But then when people try to sue Facebook and say, you're copyright violating this because somebody published it on your website, on your Facebook site, they say, no. We're simply open publishers. We're open platforms. People can publish anything they want here. We can't be held liable for it. So they're literally playing both sides of the fence. It is not that way. It is either one or the other. They either want to be a private company and censor everything they do, which at that point, they open themselves up to literally hundreds of thousands of libel lawsuits and copyright infringement lawsuits, which I personally believe that needs to happen then if they're public, or they need to be held accountable as a public platform publisher. That is the aspect that we're looking at. This isn't rocket science. So the little things you've seen with Zuckerberg in front of Congress and all these little smoke and mirror and dog and pony circus clown acts they're doing, it's all fodder. It's all designed to make you think they're actually doing something, when in reality, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing and what they're told to do and what they're paid to do and what they're directed to do from the CIA from the very beginning. This all is being done intentionally to block and censor any type of conservative voice anywhere in the world on any platform. This isn't an accident that this is being done unilaterally across all these platforms. It's not an accident, guys. And so everybody has to understand what we're working with here now. So we have to start calling for these social media platforms, as big as they are, to either designate themselves as public publishers, and they cannot censor and curate information, or they're a private company, and they can censor anything they darn well please, except the fact that they are now need to be sued for every single copyright infringement meme, every single article that doesn't do its due diligence, every single comment, every single topic, anything that's copyright infringement or libel, they are liable for it because they are a private company. That's what we have to do with these guys now, because if not, we are slowly allowing this noose to be put over our heads. And I don't even use social media platforms that much, but it has been so instrumental and providing real news to so many people, because it gives people a platform to repost things, to republish things, to send things out that they saw earlier, or to speak their own mind and wake other people up. And this is why the globalist bankers are so bent on making sure there is no free speech. And the aspect of this is, guys, it's not slowing down. It's not stopping. It's actually gotten quite opposite. After Assange got that information from WikiLeaks 2 years ago about Hillary Clinton, and all that stuff got published on social media, that is exactly when it happened. And what's ironic is Facebook originally used all this information, allegedly, about Russia's involvement in the election to censor all that. Do you guys remember that? I know a lot of people, a lot of Americans have a very short-term memory. Just go back 2.5 years. The whole thing that Facebook did and Google did, they all come out and said, oh, it's Russian collusion. It's Russian collusion. Russia was involved in this. We have to ban Russian bots. That's what it first talked about. Russian bots and fake news. We have to ban it. Guys, there's no Russian bots and there is no fake news with Russia anymore. Even Mueller already pointed out there was no collusion, even if you want to get involved in that whole conversation. And I don't even care about talking about it. What we see now is now they're saying it's hate speech. It's anything you say that's offensive to anybody anywhere in the world at any time, and it could be considered something hateful, we say that's hate speech and we're banning it now. But the irony of it is, it's not unilateral hate speech that they're banning. It's simply open-ended alternative media topics that address the truth that they now designate as hate speech. As I've told you guys before, now anything that's anti-Muslim or anti-Semitic, they ban it. And it's completely classified as white supremacist hate speech now. They're doing it even with MasterCard and PayPal, as I talked about yesterday. This is a concerted effort. And we all have to start speaking our mind and being boisterous about what's going on. Everybody is so concerned nowadays about being politically correct. Nobody wants to talk about anything anymore. And we're actually engaging in what I have referred to for years now, and it's always been troubling, as self-censorship. This is what the Chinese model, the social credit score, has been so effective at doing. And now the United States has allowed the deep state and the globalist bankers through the social media platforms that they own to do the exact same thing, to make people feel guilty, to blast them publicly, to humiliate them through the news media and social media, to make sure everything happens as negatively as possible when they speak the truth. I saw an article here that somebody sent me yesterday that was quite, it was puzzling, to be honest with you. It was from the Victoria Fedden. She wrote an article and it said, what to say instead of all I want is a healthy baby. And I went, what? I gotta read this. This is too weird of a headline. I gotta figure out what is going on. Well, you know, a lot of times when you talk to parents and they're having a baby and they say, you know what? I'm just praying for a healthy baby. That's really all we want, is a healthy baby. And you go, yeah, everybody wants a healthy baby. Not only is that a positive confession, I want a healthy baby, but you know, that's really a main goal. And you're asking God, I want a healthy baby. If it's a boy or it's a girl, doesn't matter. I want a healthy baby. God, Jesus, please protect my child. Grant them wisdom. Grant them strength, grant them mental acuity, grant them health. I want a healthy baby. That's a great positive thing to speak over your baby as it's growing in your body. Well, then the lady gets an article. I'll partially read it because she rambles on through this stuff. Then she goes through about halfway through. She goes, even though we don't mean to, we're saying that we want a perfect baby when we say this. And yes, we'd be sad and disappointed if we had a child that was anything less than healthy. Hearing someone say that all they want is a healthy baby is harsh and unacceptable, not to mention untrue. When people say they want a healthy baby, they are, no matter how intentional, unintentionally perpetuating albinism and excluding those who may not have healthy or typical bodies and their families. The solution isn't to angry shame people who accidentally say they want a healthy baby. It's to change the phrase and say this instead. I want the child I meant to have. This is so much kinder and so much accurate and so much more inclusive. When we say I want the child I meant to have, we leave out no one, imply that we're open to all possibilities. Here's the kicker. Here's the punchline. I want this child that is coming, whoever they are, I want him or her or Z or them. I want this human being to be in the body that they choose. bam, there you go again. Right again with the transgender narrative before your baby's even born. You're not allowed to speak positive affirmations over your baby. You're not allowed to say you want a healthy, Christian, fulfilled baby. You don't want to say any of that. You have to say, I want the baby that I'm supposed to have, whether it's a transgender child, whether it's an autistic child because I pumped it full of 76 vaccinations. It doesn't matter. I want the child that I'm destined to have, that I'm supposed to have. This is the lunacy that political correctness has gotten us now to the point that we can't even speak positive affirmations over our unborn children without a possibly offending people. This has gone so far over the deep end now, it boggles my mind. But when I saw this article today, I had to bring it up because the political correctness knows no bounds, guys. That's what everybody has to understand. At first, everybody goes, we'll be inclusive. We don't want to be offensive. We will kind of limit what we say around certain people. And everybody goes, okay, that's fair. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. Well, the problem is that we have seen now the political correctness, as I just said, knows no bounds. There are no limits to it. And they don't reach a certain point and say, listen, we've reached a good compromise. The political correctness basis is here. We're happy with where we are. We appreciate your support. We thank you for coming in and meeting us in the middle, and we're really good here now. That's never happened, nor will it ever. They continually push the narrative over and over and over again, to now they're telling you and dictating to you what you can and can't say over your unborn baby, and saying you want a healthy baby is politically incorrect? Are you kidding me now? How much more tape are we going to put over our mouths? How many more blackout shades are we going to put over our eyes? How much more sand are we going to shove our head in till we all wake up and realize this is not going to stop unless we start being vocal about what's going on and we stop being politically correct, Dad? Because this is becoming so troubling now, and it's happening so quickly, and the sad part is the vast majority of Americans are blind to what's going on, and they simply are following orders, and then we have the churches that are sitting there from the pulpits promoting this filth, and the population, the Christian population, is becoming more and more silent and more politically correct because they don't know what to do because of poor leadership, Dad.
Austin, that was a phenomenal rant. Gosh, that was excellent.
Thanks, bud.
Guys, if you're listening to this show today, you're getting the show. Great job, Austin. You're absolutely right. You know, this is why I never went and pushed myself into Facebook as a platform and all the other stuff. I didn't do that. I don't even have a Facebook account because I knew that these guys were owned by the CIA, which is controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian group of weirdos, and that they would eventually find a way to, after what happened with Julian Assange, to stop this giant leak. This was a leak for them. And, you know, too many people woke up and they're still awake. Now they have to do everything they can, including full-blown push everybody back down into the hole and put the lid back on it, which is what they're trying to do. You know, we had a lot of problems having children, Sharon and I did. I'm going to get real personal for a second. We had Austin. It took a couple of years to get pregnant with Austin, and then we had to go to a fertility clinic to have the other three, and had to do in vitro. Now, what was interesting about all of this stuff is that I know how it feels when you get around somebody who can have a baby at will. Some people just look at each other and they get pregnant, metaphorically, not reality, but metaphorically. And they try 1 month they're pregnant, 1 month they're pregnant. And I never once got mad at those people because they could get pregnant so easily. I was happy for them. I was genuinely blessed to be able to see them do what they did and have the ability to get pregnant so easily. I was blessed to see it. I never thought about that. But a lot of people, when they have issues with infertility, you know, they have a problem with other people who basically can get pregnant easily. The men in most cases aren't as bad, but I have seen women who basically just start crying and leave the room. And what we have to understand is this. We have to have compassion for these people because, guys, the infertility thing's a real pain in the butt. I mean, it's really hard to deal with from an emotional and psychological standpoint. But they're doing it to us on purpose. They're giving us all kinds of hormones in the food supply. They're giving us Gardasil shots, which cause all kinds of problems with premature ovarian failure. They're giving us fluoride, which makes us servile and infertile. They're doing everything they possibly can, including using Bisphenol A,
which is another hormone disruptor, and all these hormone disruptors they put into the food supply. They're doing all of this stuff on purpose to stop the breeding cycle of humans so that we don't produce as many people, which is what's happened in the Western societies, which is why we have a negative growth without immigration. It's being done on purpose. And so now we have people coming out and saying, by the way, if your baby's he or she or an it or whatever it wants to be, you can't criticize a person for encouraging their child to have this. And like this article you said, they come out and they'll give you 80% really good information in an article, and then they drop the hammer on you like that. And they go, oh, by the way, you know, you're a bigot if you don't want your boy and girl to be a girl or a boy, and vice versa if you don't want them to be whatever they want to be. Now you're a bigot. Well, you're not a bigot to want the best for your children. God wants the best for us. He sent Jesus for us because he wanted the best for us. So why in the world do we think we can allow these people to do this? But here's what happens. You know, I can write an article. Let's say I wrote an article I did one time on aspartame, a chronicle of crime. And I have it posted on our website. And I sent it out for publication. And some people picked it up. Other people didn't. It never went viral. It's a great article. I have 100 articles that I've written like that on the website. They don't go viral. Why? Because they're not supposed to go viral. Why is that? Because they're not promoted by the CIA or the shadow government, which is the government that took down Building 7. Let's be blunt. They're not promoted by that group of people who promote the internet. So when someone like Julian Assange comes out and he has a huge network and he sends something out and it goes viral instantaneously, it scares these guys because it goes against their narrative. So that's why you're getting the narrative, and often you're right, it's the leadership from the pulpit. The preachers who are pansies wearing, the pansy panty wearing preachers in the pulpit who basically constantly push political correctness because they're so afraid that people are going to leave their church. If enough people actually showed leadership from the pulpit, the people in this country would change and go back. Now, you'll have the group of people that are mad because their lifestyle is not being affirmed by the pastor. Who'll find another church to go to? But if all the pastors were on the same page and they were all saying the same thing, these people would realize that they had sin in their life and they need to change it. You know, when your mom and I pray every day, Austin, Sharon and I pray every day, you know, we ask God to forgive us for anything we've done, this or thought, word, deed, anything. Okay? Yesterday she was on the coffee. She's acting ganz wild, which means crazy, wild. You know, and she asked God, she goes, God, forgive me for acting like that for yesterday, you know, putting Ted through that. You guys think, well, why is Ted sharing that with me? It's because we all do things we shouldn't want to do. I do it too. You do it too. And if you don't, you're listening to me, you're not being honest with yourself. Well, none of us are perfect. But that's what Jesus has done for us. We don't have to be perfect because we're great. We're the righteous of God through Christ, not through our own works, that any man should boast. So we have to understand something. When a person's hurting, we got to pray for them and believe God's best for them based on the word. If I pray that I have healthy grandchildren, there's nothing wrong with that. If I pray that I have a perfect grandchild, whatever that means, because nobody's perfect, you know, perfectly healthy, that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. If I make sure that I eat the right foods, so I stay healthy, there's nothing wrong with that. If I make sure that my daughter-in-law, or I encourage her to eat the right foods so she has a healthy baby, there's nothing wrong with that. But because of political correctness, we can't say anything that may infringe on somebody else's beliefs or structure, or else we're a bigot. So Austin, excellent rant. And it's, again, remember, the CIA is run by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the military is controlled by the CIA, and the international banking community runs the planet through their fiat currency, and they want to tie us into a D-Wave computer, to an interdimensional interface with Lucifer himself, and these same guys are the ones who practice gematria, wizardry, all of this weird stuff. This is what they do. This is what these guys do. And we have to understand what they are. These people are demon-possessed weirdos. And you can't let them get away with this because they're telling you there's something wrong with you because you want a healthy child. I mean, what the heck's wrong with these people for even saying stuff like that? And this is the key that we have to understand is that, you know, we don't, and Austin said it again, we don't have a spirit of timidity, but a power of love and a sound mind. You know, yesterday when we were out with Sharon and we were talking, we were getting another mattress for one of the other guest rooms we have here at the house, one of the bedrooms. And we ended up basically, you know, talking to them. And the guys, like everybody there has diabetes.
I mean, they all have diabetes. You know, and I started asking them about metformin. Oh, yeah, they're on metformin and on insulin and on this, all this diabetic nerve pain. And I'm like, guys, you know there's another way. And they go, no, we don't know of another way. Is there something else we can do besides what we're doing? We're miserable. I say, yeah, there's all kinds of things you can do. So I do a talk show on this. And, of course, they're all sucking down diet sodas. So I start talking to them about that. And you go, did you really get that personally involved with them? Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you say to someone, hey, you know, you're giving your baby a soda to drink, a Coke. Baby's 3 months old, they're drinking a Coke. Maybe that's not okay. Why don't you go talk to your doctor and see if that's okay? You say, well, that wouldn't do that. People wouldn't give us a baby. I've seen it. I have seen people in a church one time here in Central Florida giving their baby a Coke to drink who was 3 months old. You think, how can they be that ignorant? Notice I didn't use the word stupid, because most people aren't inherently stupid, but they're ignorant. What does that mean? They don't have the education. You know, I can't rebuild a car. I know a lot about engines, but I look at these new engines, and they're so complicated with all the computers on them. I just close the hood. I can add water to the windshield washer fluid. That's about it. Maybe put a little oil in it, add some DPF fluid or diesel particulate fluid, you know, into my reservoir. I can change a tire. I could work on old cars, change plugs, change new points, all that kind of stuff back in the 60s and the 70s. I can do all that. These new ones, forget it. Forget it. Does that make me stupid? No, it just makes me ignorant of how to do that. So we can be trained. We can be trained and taught how to do things right. So share the show with people, friends. And you say, why do you always ask us to share the show? Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you have your lives have been changed? Been changed because of this show, because of learning who you are in Christ, learning how coffee elevates cortisol, learning what vaccines do, learning that all these drugs have side effects, and they're all natural alternatives to all of this stuff. I mean, I get so many of you, my life has changed. I said, I had one guy just the other day, I thought I knew a lot about what's going on until I started listening to this show. Nobody talks about the stuff you guys talk about. Why? Because I try to look at everything through a scriptural lens. People say, well, why are you obsessed with this Bible stuff? Obsessed with this Bible stuff? It's my very essence. It's my very being. It's without the blood of the Lamb, I probably wouldn't be alive. I mean, because of what God did, and He changed me. Guys, I had a rough childhood. You know, and God changed me. He tweaked me. He did more than tweak me. He gave me a full makeover. My gosh, what He did with me, being a bouncer in a bar and being to where I am now and loving Jesus with all of my heart. I mean, it's just a full change. I mean, I was a filthy, foul mouth. I mean, gosh, it was awful. And I never did the drugs, but boy, I did. I was a womanizer. And guys, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be that. You can be infused with the Holy Spirit and change your life. That's what this show's done for so many of you guys. I got some letters to tell me. That's why I ask you to share the show. You know, and for you guys that are out there and you support us and you get your vitamins from us and you get your toothpaste from us and all those little things you do, and so many of you are so kind, you'll donate $1 or $5 or $10 on an order to the cost of the show. It means the world to us, because if I didn't have you guys doing that for me and Austin, we couldn't bring you the show. I mean, if we didn't have it, I mean, we got millions of people listening to the show now. And you think, well, you act just like you did when you started 5 years ago. Well, yeah, because I'm not a phony. My gosh, so many people in the media are phonies, and I'm talking alternative news. They're phonies. My God, they're a bunch of drunks and alcoholics and weirdos. And I'm talking about mainstream media, too. I'm talking about preachers of the pulpit and people who own national TV stations that are Christian. I know a bunch of them. I'm not like that. George Hebert said to me a couple years ago, I've known George for, oh gosh, 35 years. He said to me, he came to my clinic back on Highway 92 here in Central Florida back in the 80s. We had our clinic. We see up to 40 patients a day. He said to me one day, he was over here at some kind of get-together we were having, and I had a bunch of friends here that were friends 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. For 50 years I'd known them. And then George says, you know, Ted, what's funny about you is that you're just the same way as you were back when. That you're nicer than you were. You haven't changed. I said, well, I don't do that because I'm real. And that's what you guys feel when you hear the show. I don't put on a show for anybody. I don't do that. If you guys know me in person and you talk to me or you talk to me on the phone, I'm the exact same guy I am on the radio. And guys, we need to all strive to be real through who we are in Christ Jesus, because without Jesus, we're a mess. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for the support. Also, too, one other news article I found here that I always like to bring some health stuff in. Got a bunch of stuff for tomorrow lined up. You know, we always focus on diet and exercise and staying away from a lot of the sugars and hydrogenated oils and so forth. But another thing that people always have to look at, too, the one thing, is sitting too long. An article that was published in the peer-reviewed Annals of Internal Medicine, the paper and other offers surprising evidence for the link between prolonged bouts of sitting and mortality. And so it discussed how they followed 7,985 American adults tracking their sedentary time using a device called a hip-mounted accelerometer. They compared the subject's objective amount of sedentary activity with all-cause mortality. They found that people who sat continuously for an hour or more at a time were significantly more likely to experience early death. Now, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean the end-all be-all. If you sit for longer than that, it's not like, oh my gosh, you're going to check out. But what it means is it's always good. I'm in your office all the time. A lot of times I'm on the phone. A lot of times I'm on the computer. And a lot of times you get wrapped up in stuff and you just forget. You know, you forget that you're sitting there for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and you finally get up and you're like, oh, I'm stiff. It's always good. If you're doing something, if you got a break, get up and walk around for a few minutes. You don't even have to necessarily do anything crazy. But if you're at an office, if you're doing something, just get up and move around. Even a lot of times, Dad and I do the same thing. We'll be on the show. We'll stand up and walk around during the show while we're talking. And sometimes it's just because I'm into something. Sometimes it's because just I'm up and want to stand up. Other times it's because I've been busy and I've been sitting down for a little bit and I don't want to be sitting down anymore. So just some health tips like that can make a big difference, increasing circulation, increasing energy, and constantly keeping your body moving. Because you got to remember, our bodies were designed to function very actively. We're designed to eat clean food. We're designed to be exercising, not going in the gym like exercising necessarily all the time, but we're constantly doing things. We're outside working. We're outside planting. We're outside hunting. We're outside doing things. Our bodies were designed to be active. They weren't designed to be in front of the computer screen 8, 9, 10 hours a day. So just some tips there. Thank you guys so much for the continued support. We get a lot of emails. Please check out the product of the week. You guys know the Ultimate Multiple Powder is on sale. Today's the last day. A lot of people have gotten that. It's 10% off right now. Really good product. One of the first products I usually put people on, either Ultimate Multiple Capsules or the Ultimate Multiple Powder, which is on sale. Really good base starter supplement. And be sure also to vote for anything else that you want to see win. It looks like the organic bee juice powders that we now carry are winning pretty strong. So if you guys want that to win, make sure you get on the website and vote and ensure that that product wins, and it'll be going on sale tomorrow. So thank you guys for the support. We appreciate you. You have a blessed, safe, awesome day, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.